You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, Dojo Disciples. This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Denchi Mail Edition, where every other week we supplement our regular episodes with answers to your video game questions and talk about the latest releases of the Famicom Dojo video web series. This week we give our initial impressions of Miitomo, wax nostalgic about MS-DOS gaming, share the secret origin of Sean and Vink, and another haiku. Hey, Vink.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, you all right?
I'm fine, but don't waste these words. We've talked about this. If you're gonna say anything to me, say it through Miitomo so I can get some coins.
God, Miitomo. Well, as
we're recording, I love this type of bread.
As we're recording this, it's only a few days release. I mean, they in the U.S. they literally waited until the last possible day to release this. It was March 31st.
But yeah, it's been out what, 3 days now?
Yeah,
four. And I'm already at style level four, despite not wearing any clothes.
Four. I'm at 10, but I
10?
Keep changing my clothes.
Okay, well, I mean, I can see why, because most of the time I just walk around in my underpants.
I was gonna call you out on that. I think I might have even taken some photos just as proof that you indeed were not wearing any clothes.
Well, okay, this is how I'm gonna avoid those traps of DLC. Like, you know how much I am against downloadable content in general, and I'm
sure.
Like, I don't want to get into that. I've got to catch all these clothes. I got to get all these neat things. So for most of the time, other than to occasionally earn the coins for switching clothes, I am just walking around naked. although I've mixed it up a little today. I've got a croissant necklace.
Nice, nicely done. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the rules are for getting the coins that you spend in the game to buy things like clothes, because it's not always clear to me. Like, which things you answer and how often, like, what time of day. It's not...
Yeah, it's kind of...
I'm figuring that out still.
It's kind of odd. I mean, I suppose the best strategy is just to be on it all the time.
No, because...
which is the strategy it seems almost everyone's doing, because there are just... People are just constantly on that, and it's weird, because I was done with smartphones. I told you I was done with smartphones. And
right.
I blame you.
What did I do?
You talked about this.
Ah.
In a positive light.
Well, I mean, I hadn't really played much of it at the time. I just let you know that it was out and that the new hadn't come off of it yet. Everyone was adding it. And I've personally been a little... less cautious, I guess. I've been adding everyone who's been asking to connect to me. And the way that they have it set up is you can't find people you actually know. You have to wait until it comes up in your suggested friends or something. It's very strange. But I've added a lot of interesting people, like Pear from IGN.
Really?
Yeah. Or someone who claims to be, you know.
Yeah, that's another thing. I've gotten all these friend requests, and they're like me names are different from whatever their real names are.
Yeah.
I have no idea who some of these people are. I'm like,
that's true.
I'm like, you've gotten a request from a, you know, and it's just kind of like a random name, and I'm like, okay, except for the coins. But then they're asking me questions like, they're like, what celebrity do you think I look like? And I'm like, I have no idea what you look like.
Exactly. Just go off to me, I guess.
You look like that character from Wii Sports.
I have like two Daves plus Game Dave.
Yeah.
Damian McFerrin. Yeah.
Yep. I had a Dave who requested me, and I thought it was Game Dave, so I accepted, and I learned soon that it wasn't Game Dave. It's a Dave that I still don't know who it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure who either of these two Daves are, to be honest.
Yeah.
But
I know he likes French bread with some garlic butter.
See, you're meeting new people. Isn't this great? And there's a guy who I think is supposed to be Brian Crescente. How do you even say his name?
I don't know.
It looks just
Crescente.
Like him. I know. Maybe it's Patch.
Okay. It could be Patch just made up a character of him, but did he like you or
we're friends? I mean
Are you friends? Yeah.
Yeah, we're friends now.
Do you like him? I mean,
well, let's see. Let's see if I've heard three of his answers so far.
So wait, how are you getting all these friends? I think mine are mainly coming from Twitter.
Yeah, mine are mainly coming from Facebook. So like I have like 23 or whatever people in common in a lot of these suggested cases, right? And then I just go, well, I must know who this person is if I have 23 friends in common. But, you know, again, like you said, like with their names, I have no idea.
Yeah, you'd think after all these probing questions that we learn, we'd at least learn maybe who they are. I have no idea.
It's asking some really personal questions, like, what's your ideal first kiss? Would you be in a long-distance relationship? And it's like, I'm 35, and I've done both of these things many times.
I worry we might not be the target audience.
Yeah, it's true. But some of these people are, like, on Miitomo with me. So I gotta be careful.
Well, exactly. Although some of your responses have been slightly unsafe for work.
What do you mean? The thing about the cats? I'm sorry.
No, it was the thing about your genitals.
Oh yeah. What would you like to see in a significant other? Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean that's really everyone's goal, right?
Of course. But anyway, but it's like I was trying to describe it to some other person about what exactly is Miitomo? What kind of game is it? I'm like, it's not really a game.
Right. It's like a slower version of Facebook.
It's like if you took Animal Crossing and Twitter had a baby.
Right. A very slow baby that takes way too long for everything to happen.
Well, that's children. I mean, I don't know. I've found myself occasionally cracking up with it, though. I mean, there's some funny stuff. It's interesting, and it's really easy to do for a few minutes.
Yes,
like ridiculously easy. And the main thing that's keeping me going right now is I'm almost at Zelda Picross.
Yes, yes. So for those who don't know, this is attaching to the new Nintendo My Nintendo account thing, which is replacing Club Nintendo.
Yep. And I got to say, once I get Zelda Picross, though, I think I'm going to stop playing Miitomo and I'm going to play Zelda Picross.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen to me.
Way more fun.
I messed up because in the game, the only thing you can spend those coins on, so there's all these different coins, because I'm sure we'll talk about this at some point once we've digested all this stuff.
Yeah.
But like the platinum ones that you can spend on things like that, I spent on that Mario suit, not realizing that these were like a finite quantity, really, and that there were things, if you go to My Nintendo, non-Miitomo things that you could spend it on.
Yep.
So if you have not been to My Nintendo, go there, because there are generic platinum coins you can get by doing things on that as well, like logging into Miiverse,
the eShop,
or the Wii Shop. Yeah. Weekly there, but there's also Miitomo specific things you can do, and I'm guessing this means that other games that integrate with this will have game specific platinum coins you can earn there as well.
Yeah, and I mean the rewards are not super great right now. They've got the Zelda Picross. Well, that sounds great, and they've got WarioWare Touched. I believe that's the DS one that was like a launch title.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, a lot of years ago now, when you think about it. Wow.
This reminds me, actually, because there's another reward on there that I wanted to ask you about, because I didn't download it before when Club Nintendo was still a thing, but I may do it now. So I was playing Miitomo, waiting in line for a unnamed political rally, and the phone died on me. Like, I had charged it up, you know, made sure it was all good to go. And it, like, I switched away from Miitomo for a minute and I came back and it said like 1% battery. And then I tried to shut down the program and then just zip, nothing, dead. Phone was dead.
I swear,
not a minute later, someone like working for the campaign came up and said what was allowed inside the meeting space. And they said that uncharged cell phones cannot be brought in because they can be considered projectiles. So I returned my phone to the car. Right?
Wait.
Yes.
A charged cell phone is not a projectile.
A charged cell phone has a function other than being a projectile.
Wow.
Right? So that was very interesting.
Awesome.
The point of the story, though, is that the only camera I had on me was my 3DS. So I'm possible.
That's not a projectile. You've got an LL.
it was big. It turned on.
But it does have another function.
Yes.
Ignoring the candidate so you can play Picross.
Listen, I didn't get Picross. I was playing Majora's Mask actually until they came out. But the point is that I now have probably the only 3D photo of Bernie Sanders.
So much for unnamed political.
True, but I had to bring that up because I need to ask you, like, can I share this somehow? Is that what Flipnote 3D is for?
No, Flipnote Studio is like an animation-y program. I don't know. Like, I never really played. I didn't have a DSi, so I didn't have it on that. But yeah, I got Flipnote. Free for if you're using the Miiverse. The only way to get it before was Club Nintendo before that shut down, and I didn't get it then. So
it's free now. Yeah, anyone who has an account, I think, can get it for free at this point. So that's good.
Yeah, but I don't know how you share the 3D photos. I'm sure there's something. I'm sure.
I think I can pull it off the SD card and get a 2D version, but I really want the 3D one out there because it's so grainy and it looks photoshopped.
Sounds great.
But it's real. Okay. It is real.
It's all right. Fake. Anyway.
Memes. Should we answer some questions then?
I guess. I guess.
I've actually plumbed the depths of our emails, and we got one in that I feel like we should read because it references an earlier episode that we can get to the new stuff. How does that sound?
Oh, great.
Okay.
Let's do it. Plumb away.
Daniel, a.k.a. Zycor, replied to our reply to his earlier question to us. So there's a little back and forth on those actual communication
happening. All right.
Hey, Sean and Vink. Vink asked me where in Japan I was for my study abroad. So he's currently in Nagoya. Attending Nagoya University of Foreign Studies.
Oh, cool.
And Japanese fashion isn't actually located in Nagoya City.
Of course.
It's like Tokyo Game Show is in Chiba.
It's located
not even
in Delaware. Chiba. It's really weird. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. So that was our question to him that he answered for us. So. Zycor, that's your first Zycor mail, I guess.
Zycor mail.
And I'm glad we could help you answer that. So, but he also wants to comment on how you mentioned DDR is based on the Dead in Japan. Because he says every arcade I've been to has had at least one single machine. Sega arcades in Tokyo had several, but a smaller arcade in Nagakute, wherever that is, had a single DDR machine for two players. He actually has a question for us too.
All right. Okay.
Let's get into actual gaming stuff. How did you guys meet? I don't know that you told the story yet. Oh boy. How much do we want to answer about this?
We were young and needed the money. No, wait. No, that's not it.
Put together.
I don't know. Mutual friends, I guess.
Yeah.
I started an anime club when I was in college, because that was a thing that not enough people knew about that you need to start a club for it rather than just, I don't know, these days, I guess, turn on the television.
Yeah, which just goes to show you how long I went to college.
And oh my gosh. And Sean pretty much didn't join this club because he was too cool for it at the time.
No. What happened was is that... I was, and in today am in still some ways, an incredible introvert, and it took Trey to get me out of my shell to meet other people.
Okay.
So he was like one of the first two or three people I met, at college, and, got me into to the wider circle of misfits that I would end up hanging out with most of my time. And then, and only then did I make it to this anime club. And I think I went like once and didn't go for a while.
Yeah.
So this is the difference between like you and me, right? Like you started a club to meet people and I'm just like reluctantly being dragged places to meet people.
Yeah.
So there
it's just because I'm really, really lazy. Going out to meet people sounded like a lot of work. So I always established clubs where I was so I didn't have to go anywhere.
Well I mean, that's the thing though. It's like you actually like took the initiative to meet people. And I was just like, well, whoever falls in my lap, I guess. Sometimes literally. College was a weird time.
It was. But like, it was never really totally an anime club though, because to tell you the truth, it was VinkCon before VinkCon was a thing.
Yes. Oh, that's a very good way to describe it. Yes.
Because it was whatever I wanted to do that day. So we watched a lot of samurai movies on Laserdisc. We played tons of King of Fighters and other video games. Like, it was what I felt like doing today. And on Friday nights, a group of people would be there to do that with me.
Yep.
Yep. Well, I mean, that was basically the whole thing. We just took over a TV lounge with this giant rear projection television, and we'd hook up the Sega Saturn, or we'd just anything we felt like, and the meeting would go until it ended, you know, until the last person staggered off.
I can see it now, you know, the dark lit room, the smell of feet, the pizza fries.
The pizza fries. Oh yes.
Oh my gosh. So many different lobbies did we take over with that. But yep. You know, it occurs to me too that this is where I first had my real exposure to some retro Japanese gaming.
Yes. Yes, because that's what I was into at the time, and I got a lot of people into it. That's where I, you know, we'd do Neo Geo and stuff, and you know, what other systems did I bring into that? All kinds of stuff.
I mean, clearly a lot's happened in the last 16 and a half years. But
has it really been that long? Oh, it has been that long. Oh my goodness.
You saw that Trey pulled up a copy of the rules, right?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that's good. This is a tray of the which podcast is it? I'm gonna get
Remarkable
this wrong.
Podcast. No, Nerd and Tie.
The Nerd and Tie podcast. Yeah, I was gonna say No Topic Required, but that's Zach's podcast. I was like, no, that's wrong. What's the other one? Nerd and Tie podcast. Yes. They've had some news recently, so instead of us talking about that and miring it down in legal woes, why don't you just go to their website and see what they have to say about it?
Check it out. They're fun, and if you go back far enough, you'll hear me on one of their podcasts. And were you on one of their podcasts once, Sean?
I was on two of them.
Two of them. Well, there you go.
I was on one just general episode, and then the Avengers 2 special.
Okay.
So how did
we meet, Sean? I still am not entirely clear on this, because you didn't really go to those meetings, but we had mutual friends.
It was kind of like a slow burn. Like I remember that you came by, you know, my lobby once or twice.
Where you had barricaded yourself behind a bunch of cushions.
Yes, that's pretty close to the truth. And so I think it was mostly Ben, honestly. I think that connected us.
Because he studied in Japan with me, and you were interested in studying in Japan. I really think that's the connection right there.
That's it. Because I went 2 years later.
Yep.
To the same school.
Same school, but well, you know, my wife was asking me the other day about this too, and she's like, "How did you meet Sean?" I'm like, "I think we had some mutual friends, and then I was living at his house, and like I couldn't remember the in between times."
There was a lot that happened, and like that's maybe like four years right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, a lot happened there. Yes, and, like Ben lived in my house. You lived in my house.
And in the previous podcast, you were talking about a science fiction literature class we took together, and that we did report together. And until you mentioned that, I had totally forgotten that element of my life had happened. So.
Oh, geez, right. Yeah, the whole school part of college is kind of isn't really a factor for me.
So anyway, That was a very long answer. Yes. Which appeases me, but probably leaves most of the listeners more confused.
It makes a lot of sense. Basically, we've been doing Famicom Dojo now most of the time that we've known each other.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah. We have known each other. We have known each other virtually via the intertubes for significantly longer than we actually knew each other in meat space.
Yes. It's been almost 2 years since you've been. No, a year and a half since you were here. I want to say it feels like yesterday.
About there. I'm probably going to be back in November.
Okay.
Briefly. So maybe we'll do something.
Yeah.
And it's been a very long time since you've been here.
Oh, don't remind me. Yeah, I think I even mentioned in Meetome what it's been about 5 years. Or it will have been come this fall.
I think that I have lived in... you missed the last apartment completely.
Yes. You missed my Madison house completely.
I think so. Yes, I did.
I mean, like, I had a couple of places there, but yeah, the one I actually owned. You missed both of them, come to think of it. And the Chicago one? Oh, man.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Let's take the bold step of including our audience in the conversation.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. How about we move on? We move on.
All right. Okay. Oh, but wait. I can't let this DDR thing just...
Oh, Jesus. Okay, fine. Go.
All right. Okay. I haven't seen a DDR machine in an arcade in several years. So maybe Nagoya is where they all went. That's possible. That's possible. And I suppose if you go to any large enough arcade, like a really, really big arcade, you'll like find something set up. But look at those machines. They're there, but they're old. They're not making new ones now, except for like the American market. I'm sure there's a couple new ones coming out, but like the majority of the ones that are out there are the same as like, you know, a lot of pizza places in the United States still have Miss Pac-Man machines, but I don't know if you can really say that Miss Pac-Man is still a hot item, you know?
Right.
Prove me wrong, though. Right. Seriously, though. I've been wrong once or twice before in my life, and I'm willing. I need photographic proof, so that is your mission right there. Go there. Show me the lines outside the DDR machines that they're still going on, and show me the abandoned Taiko no Tatsujin machines, which I still contend are the more popular music game right now, and I'll make you a T-shirt.
Oh no! Okay,
it will be a white T-shirt, probably Hanes or similar brand, with Sharpie marker written on. I was right and Vink was wrong. And wow. I'll nail it. Yes.
All right. Prove me wrong now. Well, just bringing it back to college really briefly, it's interesting that, and fitting, I think, that that's where machines would go to Nagoya, because that's where everything goes when they were teaching us directions in class. Of course, in my class anyway. I don't know about yours. We used the same book though, I thought. So
no,
maybe.
No. I used an older, sadder one. But
oh no. Okay. But
yeah. No. The one you used was a lot better. You used Genki English, right? Or Genki Japanese?
No. We didn't use Genki. Yeah. That was after us. Like I think I used Genki when I traveled or when I studied abroad.
Did you use the one that had pretty much no Japanese in it? It was pretty much romanized for the whole. Then we did use the same book. Mm-hmm. But as you can see, I don't remember anything from that.
Exactly, and you've okay.
All right.
Next question. How about you read the next one?
Josh Facebook. Writes. Why, oh why, is it so hard to find reasonably priced Neo Geo AES carts that aren't fighters?
Oh, bro, I got some bad news for you.
And I gotta say, one of our other readers kind of answered it right afterwards, saying, "So Yakov Adam says Neo Geo has never been reasonably priced," and that's very, very true. But I mean, I think I know what Josh is talking about. About 10 years ago, it was better, a lot better, you know. But I think the reason is that fighters, there's so many of them on the Neo Geo. There's so very many of them, and there's kind of like universal ideas of which ones were the best ones and stuff like that. Like King of Fighters 98 has a lot of fans. I mean, some people will like different ones, but the main thing is most people don't need to have every King of Fighters between 94 and 2003. So there's a lot of them on the secondhand market.
Right.
You know, whereas there's not a lot of things like shooters and things like that. And their production counts were a lot lower when they came out, because King of Fighters, Samurai Showdown, and things like that were their signature series. So they got printed in way higher quantities than anything else. Whereas their games like platformers or puzzle games, those are really, really expensive to have on a cartridge. You know, a fighter, you get a lot of, you know, a replay from. But like any like single player type game, you know, they're produced in much, much smaller quantities. And because of that, they become the expensive games. I know that the first Metal Slug, Neo Geo, was kind of like winding down at that point, and it was really, really underproduced for the home market, way underproduced. You know, that's why 2 and Metal Slug X are often cheaper than the first game. But the Metal Slugs in general, I mean, just, gosh, what is it? Metal Slug 4 US version, one that I have, I believe it only got 500 copies made total.
Wow.
So of course they're going to be expensive. And they can be expensive even if they're not particularly good games, just due to their rarity, you know? So, I don't know if that answered it, but I got to tell you, games in general are going to just keep going up in price. And the fighters, which seem cheap now, they're going to go up in price too. I used to be able to get copies of Samurai Showdown 2 for literally like $5 here, boxed ones. And now, you know, it's around 20. And it's going to just keep going up and up and up and up and up. And I hate to tell you guys, but I just read today that Nintendo stopped production of Nintendo DS cartridge media now.
Oh, DS or 3DS?
DS.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's been a long time coming. I'm not that surprised.
It's been a very long run, 11, 12 years there. But, you know, just very recently, I got new cartridge copies of Chrono Trigger DS, Ghost Trick DS, one of the Phoenix Wrights I was missing, and 999. What is it? It's I don't remember what it – I haven't actually played it yet, but – you know, some ones that I've been wanting to pick up, and they were all under $20, and it was nice because, you know, they're reprints, they're still going on, but now all the cartridges that exist are all the cartridges that are going to exist, huh. Which means they've finally stopped printing. What is it? Mario 64 3D, Mario 64 DS.
Oh,
it had been no, seriously. It had been constantly reprinted since it came out. It's probably still on the shelves at Best Buy right now.
Oh, this is so funny to me because like the used market for that stuff here is so robust that it didn't even occur to me to like try and buy anything new. Like they don't really have DS games in the shelves in the States anymore anyway.
I guess. There were still greatest hits versions and stuff like that. They were still being released, but yeah, it's kind of sad. Wii games are still being produced,
right?
Discs, in Japan, the discs, and you know that's happening. But I don't know. It's a sad thing to see that cartridge going. I'm really, really hoping that the NX does a cartridge similar to like Vita or 3DS, or, you know, because those can store quite a bit these days. Mm. Faster loading times, greater durability, small.
I mean, some of the rumors indicate that like there's no optical drive whatsoever, and that's going to be the only storage medium of any kind.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay ditching optical. Too many moving parts.
That's so,
I'm okay with
so
I'm because Nintendo has never been a console that's had a DVD player or a Blu-ray player in it anyway.
Right. Right. So it doesn't do any good there.
And if the and they also are not ones that often fill up the entire disc anyway. You know, a lot of their games, you know, Splatoon came in at like 2 gigs or something. You know, that could easily fit on a flash card. You know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's the way they're going, but I hope it is. What I'm really hoping they don't go is digital only.
That's.
I don't know though. I don't know.
We'll see.
I could see Microsoft or Sony doing that first, but Nintendo, I don't know. Like if their bread and butter is still, you know, I hate to say it, but kids, you know, who are going out there, you know, not tied to a credit card. And Japan is a big market, and digital has not taken off in Japan as much as it has. But who knows?
So I would be remiss if I didn't mention that our questioner, Josh, is involved with the World 9 Gaming.
Yes.
And they run a number of conventions. They're doing the Anime Central Video Game Room this year, I believe. So that's in just a few weeks here. They also work with Summer Games Done Quick and Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yep.
So they'll be doing that this summer. Awesome Games Done Quick was in January, and apart from their logo being very clever, a clever use of the D-pad, I see a lot of DDR in the background. So, you know, not Japan, but it's just fitting, I guess.
They probably bought them all from Nagoya, where they're being stockpiled.
All right.
Josh, also, that Neo Geo probably that he's talking about wanting to get carts for, that's my old
your,
Neo Geo.
Yes, that which I borrowed from them to do our Neo Geo episode.
Yes.
So that comes full circle. I also owe them a Mark III that is currently burned out and not working to be fixed, which I'll give to them at No Brand Con, which is coming up even sooner than Anime Central.
Ah.
Yeah, in its new home in the Dells. It'll be very interesting how this whole thing plays out.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Which is a convention that started through that club that I started that Sean wouldn't join.
Right. Right, and now it's being replaced by the Nerd and Tie Expo in Eau Claire. It just comes full circle.
Full circle. Anyway.
Yes, moving on. Elijah Clark says, "Hey, Sean and Vink, I'm starting to get into MS-DOS retro gaming, and I was wondering if you guys could recommend some games. I'm looking for any good game, whether it's from the early days of MS-DOS gaming or new MS-DOS games such as Retro City Rampage DX." Is that an MS-DOS game?
Yes, they actually put it on a floppy. Yes.
Oh my God! Does it fit on a floppy?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
more than one floppy.
Didn't we talk about that? Maybe I was just talking about that with Joe Grisafi. I don't know. Either way, yeah, I was talking with someone about that recently.
He says he has a full copy of Doom on floppy disk and Fallout and CD-ROM. Oh my God! Wow.
Okay.
I mean, there are some answers in here. Like Josh, the aforementioned Josh mentions Commander Keen.
Ooh,
I would have mentioned as
wonderful
well.
Wonderful game, yes.
There are Commander Keen Easter eggs. Have you ever done like the Doom or maybe Doom 2 editor? There's Commander Keen all over that thing. What else? What else? Duke Nukem was an MS-DOS game before it became Duke Nukem 3D.
Yeah. I mean, any of those like old id. Is it ID or id?
I think it's id.
Id or Apogee Games. Those are all wonderful places to start. And most of them, I mean, if you're worried about having about legality, almost all of them, the first episode is free, and the complete ones can be acquired for almost nothing.
The original Quake, I thought, was very interesting because that brought the whole Doom thing into a more true 3D first-person shooter realm.
Was the original Quake MS-DOS? That wasn't Windows by that point?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Quake 1 was still MS-DOS.
Okay.
The one neat thing, because I never bought a full version, so I just had the shareware version. But the one neat thing that it could do is it could run audio off of your CD. And I know Nine Inch Nails did the soundtrack for that, but I stuck the Downward Spiral in there because it was the only Nine Inch Nails album I had at the time, and it still works pretty well. Although I think there are tracks that are missing, like it doesn't have as many tracks, so it doesn't work entirely, but it was fairly fitting.
If you like adventure games at all, do yourself a favor and get Monkey Island, Day of the Tentacle, Loom, and
the CD version, though, not the CD version.
Well, to tell you the truth, both of them are going to be great, but I mean,
the CD version has the voice and the
definitely
played.
You'll be good either way.
Right.
And Sam and Max Hit the Road. I quite like the Telltale games, but they're nothing will. Oh man, that was such a fun game. I forget this podcast. I'm going to play that.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yep.
That was not specifically the LucasArts adventure game. There's many versions of that game, but that's the one I'm talking about. Speaking of which, that and Loom are both available on Steam. Yep.
Get Battle Chess.
Battle Chess. Oh my God! Yes, I have an NES version of that, but like the graphics and the gore, yep. and the DOS version are much, much better.
I guess I'm just thinking through the games that I used to play on DOS.
It's been so long, I'm forgetting.
Did you? Life and Death was very hard. I can imagine it was fun, but I would just botch the surgery and kill people all the time. It was a surgeon game. I guess you could call it like the precursor to like Trauma Center. Out of This World.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get Out of This World. Castles. The Castle series. Castles and Castles 2. Those are great games. Gosh, I guess I liked Interplay games a lot. If you're going even older, games by Epics were really, really good. The game series, California Games, Summer Games, Winter Games.
The Journeyman Project series.
Windows. That's got to be Windows.
Is it Windows?
I would say so. It's Macromania.
You might be right. I think you might be right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of that's the crossing over point. I think. But, I mean, it's. I don't know. We might be wrong.
Again,
on this,
you can get those games on Steam.
I had the Journeyman Project Turbo,
not Steam,
and that one required Windows, but maybe the originals didn't. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Journeyman Project. Yeah, I don't know. You can at least get them on good old games.
Lemmings.
Yes. SimCity, the original SimCity.
Yep.
I think SimTower.
Yep.
As well.
Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Great game.
Pretty much anything by like Sierra, right?
Sierra was fantastic. Anything by LucasArts, you're probably not going to go wrong. Interplay in that day was amazing. I know. It hurts me to say it now, but almost you could pick up almost any title made by Electronic Arts, and it would be good back then.
Right. Yeah.
And a quality thing that was a labor of love. They used to put pictures of the teams that made the games right in these like. Did you ever buy these games that were like they looked like albums? You know, they were in like fold out cases. Electronic Arts did a lot of things like that. And Interplay later.
Okay.
Wasteland, the first Wasteland. If you're into like Fallout, that's where it comes from.
Sure.
Oh God, this could be. You know what? This could be an entirely different podcast, and I think we should do one on like old school computer games. You know, you and I can talk about the Apple II a little bit, Commodore 64. Maybe we need a British guest to come in and tell us about the Spectrum and stuff.
Right.
So if you happen to be British and know a lot about these old school computers and have a good voice for radio, please let us know.
Well, I mean, we don't have good voices for radio necessarily.
Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't have to be that good. If really you have the ability to speak.
Yes, you do need that. You do need that.
Yes.
That is unfortunately a requirement. But, I think The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy text adventure was ported to DOS. at one point.
Oh, yes, it was. It was originally an Apple II game, but yeah. But actually, if you're going for that, go for The Lost Treasures of Infocom. I think it came out in like the 90s, but I believe, but it was still DOS, and it was a collection of like 20 of the games, and Hitchhikers is one of those.
Nice. Oh my gosh. And there are of course alternate ways to play a lot of these, but if you're for some reason actually loading these things up in DOS, well, first of all, good luck to you.
Yeah.
And second of all, enjoy, because I know we did.
Yep. But yeah, so much good stuff out there, and a lot of it's still really, really cheap, which is nice. And a lot of it, do your research, but some of it has fallen into the public domain. For example, Beneath a Steel Sky, a fantastic DOS game that I used to play, is public domain now, as is Flight of the Amazon Queen. So look into these. A lot of publishers have let some of their old stuff slip into the public domain. So there's a lot of these amazing MS-DOS games that actually are legal for you to just pick up and play. Okay.
Right on. Next.
And wait a minute.
Yes.
I just realized this. A copy of Fallout on CD-ROM and full version. These were given to him by his dad. That's the same dad that gave him the SNES for Christmas.
What a cool dad.
What a cool dad. And Fallout. Fallout's such a...
Tell your dad how cool we think he is.
Can we have your dad on the podcast?
Why not?
We'll have a Gamer Dads episode.
Oh, geez. You know, there's like a Gamer Dads podcast out there.
There's probably a few Gamer Dads.
We should be on that. We're both Gamer Dads.
Totally. Anyway, I'm going to give you a like right now.
Oh yeah.
And I'd like you to pass that like on to your dad, Elijah. Right. Okay. Okay. This next question comes from Christopher. It says, what do you think about the Nintendo Sony PlayStation prototype book coming out? What are your thoughts on the game that was released for the prototype thanks to the BIOS being leaked?
Well, my first thought is I didn't even know that there was a book coming out.
Okay, I knew about the book. That's that Kickstarter.
Oh, okay, got it.
And I don't know that. I really like the whole like unreleased hardware stuff. I don't know though. It gives me a mixed feeling though, because I feel kind of sad about it too. You know.
But this is such an awesome artifact though, because we thought that these were basically just. Like conceptual designs and no,
yeah, exactly.
Working
exactly.
Prototypes like, were made, but there's a BIOS leak too. That's amazing.
Yeah, so to tell you the truth, that means it got a lot farther ahead than I think anybody had previously thought. You know, but I don't know. I think I need to do a little more research into that. But I mean. I'm always excited when something that was lost comes back.
Okay.
I mean, that's always going to be exciting. I mean, I don't know. I'm worried if too much attention gets put on this though, someone at Nintendo or Sony is going to pull the plug, you know what I mean? So
on the actual Kickstarter, you mean?
Maybe not on the Kickstarter, but like on, I don't know. Maybe there's not much they could do.
You think anymore. They're not going to release it?
Yeah.
That ship has sailed, my friend.
Maybe that's what the NX is.
Oh, no. Let's not start that rumor. What did I say about starting rumors?
You know about the Sony, the PlayStation 4K. What do you feel about that?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's the big thing right now is the... Sony's going to be releasing another PlayStation 4 early next year.
What? Oh, because the 4K? I don't care.
It'll be compatible with the games, but some new games will probably be more targeted towards it. It'll have twice the GPU of the existing PlayStation.
It'll have to. Minimum. Well, yeah.
But what they're saying is, you know, some games will be designed for that and suffer performance hits when played on a regular vanilla PlayStation 4.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, because
interesting.
I mean, they need to, obviously, because if they're pushing this VR thing, they're going to need more horsepower, obviously.
Right.
But like, how does it? But for me, the news sounds fine because I haven't jumped into the PlayStation 4 yet. Now I'm going to wait. You know, I'm going to wait till this one's out. But for someone who's invested in it, how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't invested too much in it, which kind of six of one, half dozen of the other at this point, because the console wasn't cheap. And you know, this is coming from a guy who did get a second Xbox 360, which its only real difference was like a lower power footprint.
Yeah.
Quieter. I guess those were important things for me at the time. But
yeah,
I don't have a 4K TV. I'm not really planning on buying one.
Yeah, me neither. But I'm just worried that I hate it when they split the base. You know what I mean?
Do I have to get like a 4K and only never go above 1080p just so that I can play the games at the proper speed? That would kind of infuriate me.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm a little worried about. You know, that you know, games are going to be made for this better spec, because I doubt most games are actually going to be made in 4K, because that's that with double the GPU, what they're probably going to do is make them in 1080p, but actually 1080p. You know what I mean? Because like right now, a lot of it comes out as, you know, 960, 720. You know,
right? Yep.
What I'm worried about is they're going to target that spec, and you're going to have noticeable frame rate drops and stuff because they're using that extra power. They're not paying as much attention to people who are still using the vanilla hardware, you know?
I guess I'm not too worried, because the last disc-based game I bought for that thing was Dragon Age Inquisition, which was year and a half ago in 2014, so it might not affect me at all.
Sean, I don't want to give you any pressure right now, but I'm about to pass you, achievement wise, on the PlayStation Network.
Whatever.
I don't have a PlayStation 4. It's mainly through my Vita play, actually.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't have that many games for it. I probably the only other one I'm going to get for it in the foreseeable future is going to be Mass Effect 4, or Mass Effect Andromeda, whatever.
Yep.
Ends up actually being called, but okay. Yeah, I basically bought it for the BioWare.
What if you hear that there's some features in that game that will only be able to be played if you have the PlayStation 4K?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? That's kind of funny to me, because my first Mass Effect experience was on a CRT.
Okay.
It was very hard to read the text. So it's funny
Mine
to me.
Too.
I was going to say, yeah, it's funny that you like went through the same journey and now you have a TV that you can use with it, which I'm so happy about.
Yeah.
So that means you're totally playing it like every day now, right?
Should we move on to the next question?
All right. Paul Spinball asks,
all right.
I've recently been getting back into the Famicom, and I can't seem to find any information about this, but are there three versions of the original Famicom?
Yes.
Quick answer, yes.
Sorry.
I know the first version, which is a square button one, which I've never seen personally, by the way. That's me interjecting. But I've noticed that there are is an FF symbol of some Famicoms and not others. What does the FF symbol mean? Is it another version? Is it something different?
Should we just link to the video we did?
Yeah.
It
doesn't really explain it in the video, though.
It didn't cover everything, but yeah, it was kind of, it wasn't.
There's nothing different about the hardware, I don't think, but
no.
but they just wanted to do some more Famicom branding, I guess. So the FF stands for Famicom Family. It's what we've based our current Famicom Dojo logo off of, which actually we didn't do ourselves. Superfan Chad Margetz designs the original incarnation of that for us, and we spruced it up a little bit. But it was a very clever idea, and we just wanted to run with it because it looks so cute.
Well, let's see. Of course, we have two revisions of the AV Famicom as well.
Hey? Really?
Wasn't there... No, that's the U.S.
Yeah, the U.S. one. Yeah,
the U.S. one. Okay.
So... according to myth, these do exist, but as to how they got into the wild, what I heard was is that if people complain about the RF interference on their NES2, that if they send it back to Nintendo, Nintendo would send back an NES2 with the AV multi out like the Super Nintendo has, which is all that the AV Famicom ever had.
Yeah. So I don't know. But
I mean, if they had those, why didn't they release them? Ah, Nintendo.
By that time, it was late in the game. You know, they were already, you know, by the time that system came out, it didn't even sell all that well at the time, right. Just because, you know, everyone was talking about the new hotness, and that was old and busted.
I still want one, though. Like, it's such a neat artifact. Oh, yeah. I can't imagine how much it would cost, but if anyone has one, if we could just borrow it, even for a video, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. The thing is, since it looks almost the same from the others, if you might be able to find one at a garage sale with someone not knowing what they have. So, right.
Yep, Christopher, also aforementioned questioner, mentioned yes. that we mentioned it before, too. I think we also mentioned previously... I don't think it was in the podcast because someone else asked about this maybe in an email or on Facebook or Twitter somewhere. Why the branding needed to exist. And, my answer is that because of the different, the non-standard configurations of cartridges that the Famicom had, like yeah. some of them look kind of like MSX cards, like the Konami ones in particular look kind of like MSX cards. So
yeah, I suppose.
You had that Famicom family logo on the back of the cartridge, which would be like the standard label. Well, it depends on the company still what that back label looks like.
Yeah.
But they could all use that, and you could be like, oh, this is a Famicom cartridge at a glance, which you couldn't do before 1988 or whatever the year that became popular.
Yeah, so, that's possible.
I mean, that's what I thought. Unified branding, where the NES had the great cartridge and seal of quality from the get-go.
Yep, but yeah, totally didn't pan out like that though, because some people used it, some people didn't, and
right, blah, exactly. Blah, blah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's what it was attempting to do. All right. Oh, is it mine? Okay. Yeah. Daniel Hathcock.
Oh, you skipped one.
Oh, sorry, Zach. Hello, Zach. Should Miitomo be a launch title for NX? Yes, it should be built into the system. Oh, okay, so he's asked and answered the question, and I'll say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they find a way to make it easy, really smooth integration with Miiverse, I think it should be like part of Miiverse.
You know, which is weird that it's not now, you know?
Yeah, it should. I think maybe they're just saving that for, you know, investing the time right. in when the new system comes out, because it really does look like there's going to be a lot more, because I don't know, like the whole thing with the whole new Club Nintendo, there's very few rewards right now and stuff. I really think they're just kind of holding off until, you know, for the new hardware to be released to really kind of get this going. I think right now they're just trying to get as many people registered as possible. I really think that's the main purpose of Miitomo anyway,
right,
just to get people registered for these accounts.
There are definitely people on my friends list who I'm certain don't have any kind of Nintendo hardware who have signed up for this, which is I don't want to go as far as to call it their new Blue Ocean strategy, but people are definitely interested in it who are not necessarily Nintendo fans.
Exactly. So let's see where that goes. But Zach, it would be a terrible wasted opportunity if they didn't. But Nintendo's the king of terrible wasted opportunities. So, like, why is there no game that uses amiibos like Skylanders uses? I know.
Yeah, just breathe.
I know.
Breathe.
And then again, maybe that's another thing that's going to be there at launch for NX. You know, right? Maybe. Because otherwise, just. Because the moment people saw amiibos, they're like, wow, amiibos, that'll be great. We could have a Skylander type thing with Mario in it.
Nope.
And it still hasn't happened. And then Nintendo's like, no, you can use them in Smash Brothers, but only once.
Speaking of which, took me a second there. I have 4 amiibo, so I ended up quadrupling my collection in one fell swoop relatively recently. But I've been playing more Lego Dimensions and doubled that collection for less money.
Yeah.
Nintendo, I know you're listening.
Well, that stuff just does more for what you actually need. But yeah, I mean, seriously. Come on, Nintendo. Let's keep our head in the game. Okay.
Okay. Our next and I guess last question.
Yep.
From Daniel Hathcock. This may be a dumb question. There are no dumb questions. Just... I'm not going to finish that sentence. Anyway, you guys may have even touched on this before, but I was curious if the ever-growing demand for import games in the States, is there any kind of market in the Western for Western games in Japan? I know that Super Mario USA are probably... I know that games like Super Mario USA are probably the exception to the rule, but does Japan care about Western games that weren't released there? I don't really think so.
Short answer, yes, but not in not it. It doesn't go the same way. There's an import shop in Tokyo. It was either in Akihabara or Akihabara adjacent that specializes in bringing in Western import games. And some of the shops that we went to, Sean, do you remember there were some NES cartridges?
I don't remember that.
When we were at, I don't know if it was Trader or somewhere else. Maybe I was looking at those while you were looking at something else. But,
I mean, I can find the NES cartridges back home, but you know, you.
For me, yeah, Japan. For me, it's actually, and a lot of the online places that one can buy games have a limited selection of import titles, but the majority of them are the ones that people are interested in Japan are the ones that they cannot get otherwise. There is a small base who likes Mortal Kombat games, which get heavily censored in Japan, if released at all. The Grand Theft Auto games uncensored. It's interesting because one of the reasons a lot of people get into import gaming back in the 90s was they could get all of these Japanese games released in an uncensored form. But now Japan is importing games from America to get them uncensored.
Nice.
Even games like, for example, there was a lot of people who were importing the original No More Heroes game from America because the Japanese version was censored.
Okay.
They took all the blood out of it and decapitations and things like that. So they were importing the American Wii version so that they could have the uncensored game experience. And I think a lot of that is how it still goes. And for games that haven't been released in Japan yet, whenever there's a new Grand Theft Auto, you can find just at a regular retail store in Japan, we'll have import copies.
Okay.
I just bought The Last of Us recently from a Japanese company who is here selling import games. So it exists, but I mean, it's not mainstream in any way. Not that import gaming is mainstream to begin with, but I mean, there's so many more people bringing Japanese games to their countries than there are Japanese people bringing Western games. That said, that's what I'm looking to do. I would really like to start getting a Western games collection right now. I have almost everything I want from Japan right now, so I'm right now I'm looking for a gray box NES so I can play Super Russian Roulette.
We have the Zapper. The
yep. So, stuff like that. But short answer yes, but longer answer yes, but it's not super popular. Okay, I'll go back to your Mass Effect question. Played some Mass Effect. Okay, I got this TV. I think I mentioned it before, but our great fan here, Satoshi Matrix. After I mentioned my woes of playing Mass Effect on a CRT, he sent me a text and said, you know, I got a TV. If you'll pay the shipping, it's yours. And I said, yes, please. And I got it. It's a little 19-inch. It's very, very nice. And I hooked it up, and I've been using it a little bit. Actually, work's been really busy the last few weeks, so I haven't played a lot of non-portable games lately. But it's working out quite nice. Although I gotta say, like when I hooked Mass Effect up to it and saw it in the higher resolution, I was actually slightly less impressed with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you can really kind of see that. I don't know, when the picture's sharper, you can kind of see the flaws more than when I was playing it through the CRT Vaseline filter, you know.
Right. Well, the second game improves on that quite a bit.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. So like I thought my character model actually looked better on the CRT, and maybe the frame rate was slightly better because it was outputting at the lower resolution.
That could be. I didn't play it on the PS3, so I don't know what the deal is there.
Yeah, so I don't know. It seems to stutter a little more right now, but I'm really loving the universe there.
Yeah.
Combat seems... I'm still not totally used to combat.
Yeah,
I'm
just, that also
I'm just
improves.
Walking around, and all of a sudden there's snipers here, and I'm like, oh, I better shoot those guys. And then they're dead, and then they just keep going on with the story like nothing ever happened. It's a very surreal moment.
Huh.
Like, you've been they tried to assassinate you, but it's... I don't know. I'm enjoying the world very much. It seems that Commander Shepard has a very specific personality no matter what choice you give.
Yes.
Like he can't dance. Yeah, like the choices are The choices are given, and I'll like try to choose the most like diplomatic response possible, because that's just kind of how I am since I've lived in Japan for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But he still will kind of come off as kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder what you'd do if I chose the jerky response. Would you just like shove this guy down?
Yeah, Shepard will punch out people from time to time, depending on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying it. I'm gonna keep going on. I'm about 5.5 hours in. I've mainly just been exploring the Citadel and having every possible conversation I can with every possible person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who are those guys in the Citadel? You're like walking around and they're like these alien creatures like punching away at a keyboard that's kind of like connected to an outer wall.
Oh, the Keepers?
Is that what they are?
Those like green things with like four legs and two arms? Yeah, Keepers.
Not explained in any way so far in the game. Just
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I know what they're called, so they must be important at some point.
They must be. Okay.
I wonder
if later on.
I mean, it could be two games from now.
I wonder if later on I'm going to have to trap them.
There are things. I don't want to say anything else. Because then
I'd be a trapper keeper.
I'm done. All right, with that, I think this podcast is over forever.
It's over. Drop the mic.
If you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail, or just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter, leave a comment on one of our videos, email us at denshimail or podcast@famicomdojo.tv, or leave a voicemail at 608-492-1923, and we'll play your clip on the show. And now, a haiku by Trey Dorn. I see that old game. The label says it's Zelda. Oh no, Wrecking Crew.
Oh my god. Okay. Thanks everyone for your awesome questions.
Yes.
We are excited for new things that are coming. New little Vinklets are also coming.
Oh, yes.
So
oh,
we'll see. Vinklet singular. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I don't want to excite anyone.
Just one. Okay.
Do you think Misako would film something for us that would make a joke funnier while she is pregnant? Because it would, I don't know.
Running out of time, maybe. Maybe.
Okay.
Talk to me off pod.
Okay. I had this idea.
Oh, God.
It's tasteful.
All right. Well, like everything we do.
Oh, there was a guy who commented on our Neo Geo video, and the exact quote I believe was, "So not my cup of tea."
What's not
to love about that video? I mean, you have like a Unsolved Mysteries parody, you have like a To Catch a Predator parody, you have.
I think you've just answered your own question. I mean,
sorry, not To Catch a Predator. I was thinking like Taxi Cab Confessions. That's what I meant.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. Think about it this way. Like, say you have to do a report on Napoleon, and so you go to Wikipedia to try to find some information. Before there's anything on there, there's all this pop culture stuff, and there's talking consoles. And, well, I mean, maybe not talking consoles for Napoleon. It would be like talking French guys. Not that French people can't normally talk.
Who wouldn't love that, though?
Serious people. I mean, some people are like, I want my information. I want it in a neat package. I don't need personalities on there. Just show me the hardware. You know what I mean?
Are we like being like self-reflective here? Are we going to just start changing our style now? Because I got to tell you, I got like some video and scripts that I got to throw out otherwise.
Oh, no. Oh, Schlocky as ever.
Okay. Thank God.
But like, I think the people who are looking, you know, at our videos, they're hoping to get to the good stuff in their opinion first. But like, I mean, oh Lord, we're softcore porn, Sean.
Oh, no.
With a lot of plot, not a lot of payoff. But regardless, no, that's our style. And because there's a lot of people who have, you know, plain backgrounds, you know, opening boxes of things or putting statistics on the screen. We're trying to do something different, and it won't be everybody's cup of tea.
And yeah. Why are you even drinking tea while watching our videos? What's wrong with you?
and that's
sorry, Miles.
No, it's okay. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. There's a great deal of YouTube reviewers and personalities on there that I really can't stomach very well. But, you know, that's their thing. I just wish they weren't so much, much more successful than we were.
I did want to mention for those who've been following us on Facebook that I did pick up Battletoads. And I believe my commentary before the podcast started was something along the lines of Battletoads is garbage.
Battletoads is great.
I think I said total garbage. I do love Battletoads. I actually am really enjoying it, but I got to the point where I was at the speed, you know, the racer section. I'm like, oh, this isn't so bad. I got this. And then it just keeps going. And I'm like, oh, that's right. And I finally got stuck at a point where I would jump too soon.
Yep.
And it's like, if I had timed it the same as the other jumps where like the flashing of the thing happened, yep, it'd be fine. But for some reason, after this enormous chasm you jump over, I would miss this. And I think I got through it on my last life only to die at like the fourth or fifth section in this. And it's like a whole second like racer bit too later on, isn't there?
Yep.
Yeah, so like I have no chance. I have no chance of beating this game.
I have no idea what happens in Battletoads past the racers, because if I ever did finish it as a kid, which I might have once or twice, I never got much farther than that. But man, up till that point, sure did love that game. But yeah, but Battletoads in general, really good. Never really played I rented some of the sequels, but never really played them as much. Are they as hard?
I don't know. Like, there is a Super Battletoads, right? I think I've played it, but I don't remember.
And there's Battletoads versus Double Dragon.
Like, Super Battletoads is 4-player, isn't it? Or am I wrong about that?
I don't
or is it
know
still
about
2-player?
I think it's still 2.
Yep, there's like Battletoads Double Dragon, but is that an NES game?
It might have been one of those games that they had versions for both, but okay. I played it on the SNES.
On the SNES, okay. All right, I don't recall.
But regardless, Battletoads, not a bad series, not a bad franchise. It's unfortunate that it's remembered only for being so insanely difficult, because there's more to it than that.
There is. I'm making notes right now. We'll be doing a video about this. Our rebrand of Famicom Friday segment, which we are going to change up a little bit to make just so that people stop complaining that whenever we release one, it's not about a Famicom game.
Yeah,
that's mostly it.
We need something new up there. How it's been like 2 weeks since we put a video of like my birthday party on.
It's been longer than that, my friend. It's been longer than that.
Oh my goodness, it's been a month. It has been a month. All right, so yes. I guess that's all I've got for today.
All right. Cool. Well, again, yes, thank you everyone for asking your questions, and we will be bringing you some more awesomeness in the near future. I sure hope.
Yes.
So, all right. So I guess until next time, the dojo is
impossible to get through about the 1 hour mark of.
Apparently.
No, seriously, the end part of this podcast, I think, is the Battletoad speeder section for most of our listeners.
Ouch.
They're like, I really like the beginning, but by the end, I just can't get through this. I just turn it off.
Send complaints to vink@famicomdojo.tv.
I want to play Commander Keen now.
Yeah. I want to play Journeyman Project now.
Commander Keen has a Green Bay Packers helmet too. That's his outfit. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because they were in Madison at the time they made that, weren't they?
They might have been. But either way, that was such a good game with such. I played it with PC speaker sound though. I really hated that, but man, it was a great game.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC.
I'm going to find out
songs
Famicom or Internet Archive
were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.